Hello and welcome back to the Audio DT with Ribbity, the audio divertor, the show where we talk in a mini lecture some practical points on the Parsha of the week with hopefully some practical, realistic lessons to keep. Thank you for bearing with us. We're looking at this week, we are looking at the Parsha. We are looking at Kisetze, you know, talks about different elements, different aspects, and the like, and we're talking different aspects of life. And here, we're going to look at Perek Chaf Bet, Psukim Aleph Tebet. Let's look at what it says in the verse, what it says in the Pasuk. Lo sir es shor achicha, or esay, o nidachim, v'hisalamta mehem, hashev tishivem le'achicha. You shall not see your brother's ox or sheep straying and ignore them. Rather, you shall return them to your brother. V'im lo karov achicha, but if your brother is not near to you, v'lo yedato, or you do not know him, ve'asavto al toch betecha v'chaya imcha ad rosh achicha oto v'hashevos alo. If he is not near you, he's not close to you, you do not know him, you shall bring it into your house, and it shall be with you until your brother seeks it out. So we're talking here, obviously, about the idea of hashavas avedah. We're talking here about returning things to those around you, returning items or objects or the like to people who are around you, things that are lost. The first point I want to make sure to mention is not only items that we're talking about, it's not only material goods that we're talking about, but even spiritually, if something is lost, if someone is lost, if we are lost, we should try to bring them back. This could be a wonderful proof verse, a wonderful textual support for the idea of Kirov. If someone is lost, Hashev Tishivem Lo. Hashev tishivim l'achicha ve'im lo karov achicha elacha. If your brother is lost, if your sister is lost, we're all brothers and sisters of one another. We're all siblings under the one true God, the one true King, the one true Father in heaven. We're all siblings. If they are lost, they are not with us. They are just going through life, swimming through life, feeling like they're drowning under so many circumstances, not knowing what's going on. We must return them. We must bring them back. Sometimes we get lost along the way, or sometimes someone else is lost along the way. We have to help them. We have to make sure we find the way to help them. We have to find the way for ourselves. Sometimes we get lost. Sometimes we fall. We falter. Sometimes we stumble and we just feel like we're going far away from that lifeboat that is the Torah, from that sail cruiser that is the way of life of Hashem, the way of life of Judaism, and we feel like we're floating away the current of life, the current of society, lahavdil, and heaven, materialism and craziness of the world just pulls us away. We have to find a way to come back. We need that lifeboat. We need that life vest. We need that float that they throw from the boat to try to save someone who's treading water, someone that's sinking. It's so easy to sink nowadays. It's so easy to falter. And it's so hard to tread the waters of life. What can be that lifeboat? What can be that life vest? What could that be, that little floating device? I forget what it's called, but it's white with the red lines on it, the lifesaver, the whatever it's called, that we could send out to the people that they could hold on to, they could grab onto, they could try to stay and hold on. And that life vest, that lifesaver, that lifeboat is the Torah, is the mitzvos, is the chesed, the small acts that could literally change someone's life, literally change their circumstances, and try to make their life for the better. Sometimes we all get lost along the way, but Hashem Tishivem Lo, we have to return them, we have to return ourselves, we have to come back. Hashev Tishivem Le'achicha, you should make sure to return your brother to your brother, return him to himself, find that Pintel Yid, find that spark of Judaism. We all have it. We all have a bit of Tzelem Elokim within us. Hashem infuses us with a nefesh. Hashem infuses us with a beautiful soul, gives us the ability to do wonderful, great things. What are we going to do with those things, with those talents, with the abilities? How are we going to be Makarev people, bring people back? I talk about it a lot of times on all my different shows. I don't have X talents or X abilities, but I did have the idea, thanks to Hashem, he put it in my mind to do Daf and Pirkei Avos and the Parsha, the Audio DT and the OT show and the lecture series. Had to go about and do it. I might not be the best qualified or the best versed in these things, but the idea is put in my head. I have to do it. Hashem put it in my head. B'derech Shadam Rotzeh Leilech. He knows that I love audio. He knows that I love radio. This is the idea put in my head. I have to go about it. Maybe this is on some tiny level can be a way to try to help people with Torah, to try to help all of us, especially myself. Really, I talk to myself, but especially help all of us find our ways a little bit, to feel a little less lost, to bring ourselves a little bit back to Torah. What can we do to bring our brethren that are lost? If you see your brother lost on the way, you see his ox or his donkey lost on the way, finding and being brought down under the burden, how can you bring him back? How are you going to bring him back? He can be the one that's lost, not just his possessions, that's just an extension of him. Not just his donkey or his ox, kivyachol, that's an extension of him. You see that he's lost in his ox and his donkey and in his possessions. You see he's lost in his materialism, in his hedonism, in his secularism, and in his gashmis. Bring him back. Hashiv tishivem, you have to. You have to do what you can to bring him back, to understand that the world is really about the spiritual, not about the bahami, not about the gashmis. It's about the ruchnias, about the sikhli, about the soul inside. You must return it. If he's lost on the way, if we're lost on the way, we find a way to bring him back. A lot of times it's a trip to Israel, the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful land we have, thanks to Hashem. That's what could do it, especially Taglit or Birthright. These wonderful trips do it. Sometimes it's just pushing them onto the right website, especially Chabad, where we get our sources from. Of course, Chabad.org is fantastic. We get our sources from them. It could be Esh.com, which has amazing, amazing content also, and it's so easy for people to connect. They have so many different aspects of so many different things for so many different levels. You could send them over to YU Torah. You could send them over to OU Torah. You could send them over to Project Inspire. There's so many organizations, so many websites, so many ways to bring that brother back, to bring that sister back, to bring the person back, to bring ourselves back, especially if we get lost along the way, especially if we lose ourselves a little bit along the way. And that's the first idea that we wanted to talk to you. But the next pasuk is interesting when it says, "V'lo karov achicha, v'lo yedato, v'yasavto toch betach, v'hayim chad rosh achicha oto v'ashavot alo." If you are not close to him, he is not close to you, or you don't even know him, you still need to bring the object back. You still need to bring him back. Even if you have no physical connection. What does it mean, karov? My wife pointed out to me. What does it mean, the term karov? It could have said anything. It could have said, v'hum rachok mimcha, it could have said anything. My Hebrew is not great, but it could have said anything like, you don't live near him. It didn't say that. It said if he's not close to you. So my wife points out, and I quote her for this, that the karov means not only physically but emotionally. What if you don't even know him? What if he's a stranger to you? What if he's not your friend? It's easy to help your friend. It's easy to talk to your friend. It's easy to point your friend in the right direction and give him advice and give him mussar and criticism to help him grow, only in the right way, a loving way. And you can talk to him and bring him close. But what about the person that's not your friend? What about the stranger, the one that's physically distant from you and emotionally distant from you because you don't have a connection to him? You don't know him. He's not someone you met. You still must help him. Even if he lives far from you and he lost something, he lost himself, or he lost an object. Hashev tishivei melecha v'hashevot alo. The pasuk says you must return it to him. Even if you have no connection to him, you've never met him in your life, but he's came to you somehow, he sat next to you in shul, help him. Help him find himself. especially if you don't know him. And I would say that it goes even a step further than that. Not just someone who is lost on the way and you know them. Not just someone who's lost on the way, you've never met them before. They're physically distant from you. You just met them today and they're visiting your town from England. They came here from Australia and you live in New York and they're sitting next to you. And surely you gotta help them. They're physically distant from you. They don't live anywhere near you. Emotionally distant from you. You literally never met them until tonight at Mincha Maariv. Help them. Doesn't matter. I believe it goes a step further. It reminds me of the psukim in Shemot, in Perek Chaf Gimel, in Pasuk Hey, it says, and then it says the next pasuk after, Kisif Gashor Oivecha, O Chamoro, To'a, Hashev Tishivemlo, and I apologize if I mispronounce the words a little bit, but it's the idea behind it that we're really trying to get to. When you encounter your enemy's ox, or the donkey wandering, Hashev Tishivenu Lo, you must take it back to him. Kisira Chamor Sonacha Rovets Tachad Masov, the Chadalta Me Azov Lo Azov Ta Azov Imo. When you see the donkey of your enemy lying under its burden, and you would refrain from raising it, you must nevertheless raise it with him. Rashi points out when it says ignore them, you want to cover your eyes, pretend not to see it. You can't do that. We're going a step further. Not just someone who's lost that you know, not just someone who's lost you've never met before, but even further than that, a higher level, I believe, in some aspect, is your enemy. Someone you really hate, someone you really can't stand. You must help them. And I believe maybe the Gemara says that if an enemy has the donkey that fell and needs help raising up the load on the donkey, and that, of course, nowadays would apply to a car broken down or something and the like, or your friend has the donkey that's broken down, kavyachol, or the car that's broken down, the modern application, or a boat or the like, or something happened that they need your help, you see them on the side of the road or even by their house, who is the first person that you should help? Naturally, in your mind, you would think, I need to help my friend. I've known him for 20 years. How could I not help him first? But really, the Torah would say, you must go against your quote-unquote nature. And of course, you're really not supposed to hate anyone to begin with. My dad always used to say, I believe that there's not anyone I hate. There's only people I like a little less. What a great phrase. What a great comment that we should all live to. Why do we have enemies? That schnook that cheated me out of business 20 years ago, a famous phrase from Rabbi Foreman's lecture series on Aleph Beis. What does it matter what they did 20 years ago? You're going to hold a grudge against the squirrel that stole food from your tree 20 years ago? Are you crazy? This is something that happened 20 years ago. Everything comes from Hashem. Everything is given to us by Hashem. Leave the past in the past. I don't care what they did, how much they hurt, what they did to me 20 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago. Don't keep any hate in your heart. Don't keep any enmity in your heart. Don't hold anything against someone in your heart, openly or not, and I don't care if you say it in a direct way, or in a passive-aggressive way, or in an underhanded way, in a sarcastic Jewish mother or Jewish father kind of a way. You know, I wish you would do this more often. I wish you would have listened to me 7 years ago. It doesn't matter which way we say it, but we shouldn't have that hate in our heart. We should let it go and just let it be gone. Everything comes from Hashem. Everything happens from Hashem for a reason. If something happened, they were just the stick, the person involved or whatever was just the agent. Are you going to hate the stick that came down and broke the ball, or you're going to realize that the stick was just the agent? Are you going to blame your right hand for putting an item in your left hand? You're going to realize that Hashem controls everything and one is coming to the other. Are you going to blame the dog for hitting the ball into the bushes and it's gone? Or are you going to realize that it was just an agent? Different things, different explanations. If you throw a stick and the stick breaks something, who are you going to blame? It was your own fault. Understand, we're not going to blame Hashem, but who are you going to understand that things come from? Hashem sends X or Y. It's not the person's fault. Kiviyachol. Obviously, there's an intent and a degree of how much things should be. That's why Mitzrayim and Rome were punished, because they went above and beyond. And of course, Germany, Yimach Shemam, went above and beyond the call of what Hashem wanted from them. But still, you have to understand where things come from. That's why it doesn't even make sense to use the word enemy. But the Torah uses the word enemy because the Torah talks Kalashim B'nei Adam, and we unfortunately have the term Adam and enemy. But really take that away from you. Try to have people you like a little less, and nobody should be enemies in your heart. Remember, the way you deal with people is the way Hashem will deal with you. You want Hashem to look on you favorably. You want Hashem to treat you favorably. Then why do you have hate in your heart for anyone or anything? Don't hate other people. Don't have enemies. You can have people you don't interact with. You can have people that you might not like as much as everyone else. But if you want Hashem to like you, you should like everyone else. The way you treat others, Hashem will treat you. Measure for measure. We talked about that in a lecture also. If you're kind to others, you're compassionate to others, you're forgiving of others, and you don't forgive unconditioned. Don't tell me you're forgiving, but you still are nasty to them in your mind every time you see them. You still hold it against them. That doesn't mean you forgave. Forgiveness means fully forgiving, not having any lasting hatred or enmity even hidden in your heart. When you see them, you should fully be happy with them and not subtly or passive-aggressively or roundabout showing me that you still don't like them. And that's talking to myself, really, because when you really forgive people, then there's no enemy at all within yourselves, and it's not any hatred within yourselves. It's looking at the person, fully forgiving the person. That's the amazing idea of forgiveness. I saw that somewhere. Only Hashem could make such a crazy, outlandish, beautiful concept as forgiveness. Just the words, the concept that you could come closer to the person that you wronged. You could come closer to Hashem who you wronged after forgiveness. Only a great being of Hashem could do that. Nobody could ever think of inventing such a crazy thing. But anyway, getting back to the text in hand, I digress. The higher level is not just someone who's lost who you know, someone who's lost you've never met, but someone who's lost, someone who needs your help, someone who's in dire need of your help, your enemy, quote-unquote, but we don't have enemies. The person you like less than someone else, he's the one you should run to first. He's the one that should be helped first. You encounter, if he lost something, your friend lost something, your enemy lost something, we don't have enemies, but the person you dislike less lost something, help that person first, because it's a little bit against your nature, a little bit against Teva, a little bit against your Midos. The whole aspect, the whole reason d'etre, or whatever the French word is, raison d'etre, of living in this world, and I'm not French, so I can't really say that so well, but the whole purpose of living in this world is to work on our Midos, is to correct any faults. It's to fight against the good fight, whatever is your trouble, fighting it your whole life and having those good days, those wonderful days, those are the days that matter. Those are the days that really are helping you work against your bad nature or bad traits. The whole aspect of your life is working on Midos. That's why it says, Ezehu Gibor and Perkei Avos HaKoveshes Yitzro. Tov Yoter Gibor Milochet Ir. I forget the exact phraseology, but the Mishnah there talks about someone who conquers his passions, someone who conquers his traits, someone who conquers his nature, even day by day. Let's say you do great for a few weeks and then you fall, but then you do great again. Those great weeks are great. You're standing up and you're going against whatever Hashem gave you, whatever is your own Yetzirah, is your own battles, your own struggles in your own life. For the person that's very, very tempted by Kiddush every Shabbos, if he does one Shabbos and then another Shabbos and he does great, he doesn't touch any of that stuff, that's a big win for him. He's going against his nature. He's fighting against the Midos. For someone that has struggles with any other area, they go for days and weeks and they have wins and then they fall and they get up and then they fall, but every time they get up, that's great. That's why the wonderful Pasuk, and I forget if it's Mishlei, Kohelet says, Sheva Yipot Tzadik V'Kama. Tzadik is someone that falls. A tzaddik is someone that does have the ups and the downs. If you don't have them, you're not on that same level. The Gemara explains, B'makom shem Balei tshuva omdim ein tzaddikin yachol la'amod, or whatever the phrase they use, but the same idea. The Baal tshuva is in a higher level than the tzaddik, because the tzaddik never had that nature, never had that test to begin with. So a Baal tshuva on some level is even greater, even higher, because they have the struggles, they have the difficulties, and they try to fight them and try to win, hopefully more often than not. So when you help the person you like less, when he's lost, or his animal is lost, or his animal is struggling under the load, and you help him, you're going against your nature and you're going to help him and you're doing good. And that's even, in my opinion, a higher level. It also reminds me of the idea of Lo Samod Adam Riacha. You know someone needs help. You know someone is lost on the way. You know someone is traveling by you. Don't stand by and do nothing. If someone is lost, whether their possessions are lost, whether their items are lost, whether their souls or their very essence are lost, don't stand by idly and do nothing. You cannot have your brother or sister's blood on your hands. You don't want that. God forbid. We don't want to have any blood on our hands. We don't want any of our conscience saying, if I just talked to him, if I just interacted with her, if I just tried to connect with him, I would have done a great job. And of course, some people are better at others. The woman could be very good with the woman, and the men could be very good with the men, or vice versa, or the like. But if you have the ability to help them and you don't, we don't want literal kiviyachal as if the blood on your hands at the missed opportunity. It's also the idea, to me, it means to bring to mind, lifnei iver lo sitin mechshol, don't put a stumbling block. If a person is lost, don't make them more lost. The person has the difficulties and you know he's lost along the way, you know he's struggling. Again, we bring back the different ideas of the things that people fight with in their daily life. Don't make him in a situation that's going to make him stumble and fall. If you bring him, you're trying to bring him closer to Judaism, he's lost along the way, but you also heard that he's an alcoholic, why in the world would you serve alcohol at your table? You're asking for trouble. You're putting you're putting him in the hornet's nest. You're putting him in the lion's den. You're giving him a tremendous struggle, a tremendous difficulty that should not be there. Again, if a person has a struggle, he's lost along the way, and you bring him to this great event, this wonderful event sponsored by one of these wonderful Kirov organizations, and it's casino night, and they're playing, but you know he has this problem, why would you bring him there? You have to understand, lifnei iver lo sitein mechshol, don't put that stumbling block in front of him. Don't tempt the hornet. Don't tease the lion. Don't rouse the beast within us. Within all of us, we have our own struggles. Would you ever want someone to bring you to a Lashon Hara meeting if Lashon Hara is your big struggle? You're putting me in a situation where I have to fight it. Don't put me in that situation to begin with. You want to walk someone home. You want to talk them Torah. You know, they have difficulties. They love the smell of McDonald's. Don't walk on that path. Don't bring them down the McDonald's path. Bring them down the right path. So you got to remember that you can't stand idly by. And even when you're trying to help him, especially the lost person, lifnei iver lo sitein mechshol, do not put the stumbling block in front of him. And also what Rashi said before, don't pretend that you don't see him. Don't pretend you can't help him. You know, don't feign ignorance. Don't be the one who sees the person asking for money, who wants money, and you just walk by as if you're not there. Of course, we're all guilty of this, especially myself, but if you're walking on the way and someone is asking for money, we don't know if they need it or not, we don't know what they're going to do with the money, but if you happen to have the extra dollar, you happen to have the extra quarter, give it to them. It won't do harm, hopefully. Hopefully it'll do more good than others. We want to bring up some sources here from Chabad based on the original psukim we mentioned in tonight's audio DT. And the sources again come from Chabad. The Talmud in Bava Metzia points out, when it says, you shall not see and ignore them. Lo sir evis helamta. You shall not see them, but rather you shall ignore them. What it really means is you shall not see them and ignore them. Ignoring your brother's animal straying, that is the simple meaning of the verse. But the rabbis explain that although the verse clearly means that one must not ignore them, nevertheless, the verse is alluding to situations when one is, in fact, permitted to ignore them. For example, if he is a Kohen and the animals have wandered into a cemetery where Kohanim may not enter, or if he is in an honored sage or honored position and is beneath his dignity to lead animals or carry packages in public places, he may ignore them and he is not obligated to return them to his brother. Of course, we should all be on the level that we run to do all the mitzvahs. Hevi ratz ki mitzvah kala givechamura, the Pirkei Avos explains, we should run to do even a light mitzvah because we don't know matan tzchara shel mitzvahs. We don't know what the reward of mitzvahs are. Whether it's quote-unquote a little mitzvah, we don't even know what that means. We should try to run and do every mitzvah as much as we can. But of course, if you're in such a position where be beneath your dignity, you don't have to disgrace yourself to do something. You know, if it's the Rosh Yeshiva and there's a filth on the floor, he doesn't have to get down and ruin his beautiful suit to clean it up. Of course, we're allowed to ask the janitors or whatever to help us, the custodians to help us. The Talmud in Bava Metzia also points out that our masters taught there was a dealing stone in Jerusalem. Anyone who lost something would go there, and anyone who found something would go there. This one would stand and announce his find, and the other one would stand up, give identifying signs, and take it. What a beautiful concept, a beautiful idea. If someone lost something, there was a whole setting, a whole situation, how they could try to find it. Brings to mind the idea we should bring the situation, we should bring the setting to help people find lost things. if you found something that's lost, you know, don't shoot one person a text and say, I was fulfilled my obligation, I'm all done. You think the one message you sent really was exerting yourself, was really putting in the pressure, putting in lefum tzara agra to do the mitzvah? That's the exact phraseology of Perkei Avos. Lefum tzara agra, according to the exertion of the reward. You're going to get no reward, no fulfillment out of the mitzvah by sending one message. What did you do to try to find the person that lost the object? There's a great story, I don't remember where I saw it, but someone went to the bank, and then he was in such a rush that he left behind $2,000 in bills. Can you imagine how mortified and upset and dejected he must have been that whole day after taking out so much money, whatever he needed it for, but he lost and he had no idea where it was. And he didn't realize it until after he left. He was looking everywhere for it. The person behind him was a religious couple, I believe, a Jewish religious couple. They found the money, and there was no identifying marks on it. They didn't know what to do. So they searched and they went around and they stayed there for minutes upon minutes. I think they even stayed there maybe even 45 minutes to an hour or two, hoping to figure out and see what would happen with the money. And they said maybe on some chance, on some level, the person would come back. So they waited and they waited that 2 hours or hour or 45 minutes, whatever it was, and lo and behold, the person came back. What a beautiful Kiddush Hashem that they were able to return the money. Hashavas Aveda Mamash. They gave it back to that person. How happy do you think they made that person? How much do you think they changed that person's day? And what an effect on his mental health, on his overall outlook on life, and the Hashkacha Pratis of these people involved. If it was a Jewish person, that's a Kiddush Hashem in one way, and it's wonderful. V'ahavta re'acha kamocha, and Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh LaZeh. How much we have to love another person, how responsible we are for one another to try to take care of them. But if it wasn't a Jew, how much a Kiddush Hashem would that be that a Jewish couple spent so much exertion? And who knows, maybe they had some screaming kids in the car, maybe they had 100 errands to do, maybe they had 1,000 things to take care of, but this was important to them. They wanted to do real Hashavas Aveda, and they did so. And that is a prime example. Just as the Gemara points out here, they had a whole situation, a whole setting to try to do the Amos HaShavas Aveda. It also reminds me of the episode, Lahavdil, of What Would You Do? Where they talk about someone who put a check on the floor. And the only one out of all the people who saw the check, some ignored it, which of course we talked about before, you can't, don't pretend you don't see it. And some people just stamped on it, walked in it. Some people took it and went. You know, many people who are regular people and even higher, holier people might have been tempted by that money that the couple found and might have just walked off with it. And technically, if it doesn't have a siman or a sign, maybe on some level they wouldn't have been faulted. But that's not what they did. They went above and beyond and they held on to it and they waited and the person came back. So it reminds me of the idea of what would you do? The only person that went and took the check and literally went person to person trying as hard as he could to find the owner of the check was a religious Jewish person. And this is not a Jewish show. What a wonderful Kiddush Hashem. I don't know if he actually found the owner or he realized it was a show where they were trying to see what people would do, human nature. They film very different situations and in different settings, trying to see what people's reactions are and would people stand up for the lower guy. And all wonderful lessons, interesting lessons. But in this episode, I distinctly remember how that religious person was the only one, true Hashavas Aveda, putting real exertion in the mitzvah. That's what we should do. You got to understand that you got to put in the effort. So you find the dollar bill, post it on your community groups, post it on your Facebook, try to WhatsApp it, try to figure out if anyone can help you. And if you pray to Hashem to help you, Hashem will hopefully help you and connect you and find you the person that the money belongs to. That's what we have to do. We have to be involved to do so. The Talmud also points out in Tanis, a man once passed by the door of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa's home and left behind some chickens. Rabbi Hanina's wife found them, and Rabbi Hanina said to her, "Don't eat their eggs." The eggs and the chickens multiplied and became a bother for them. So he sold them and bought goats with the money. One day, the man who lost the chickens passed by and mentioned to his friend, "Here is where I lost my chickens." Rabbi Hanina heard him and asked him, "Do you have an identifying mark?" said he yes. He told him the sign and received the goat. So even the greatest sages tried to be involved in the mitzvah. And even if they lost hope, they didn't fully lose hope. And they thought they heard an idea of a person maybe having the item they lost, which was now converted into a different animal through money and the like. And he still said, ah, I could do Hashavas Aveda. What are we doing to be involved in our part of Hashavas Aveda? Sometimes people lose so many different things. You know, we once had a tie that somebody left in our house, and we hoped, and we couldn't figure out where it was, and days went by, months went by, and to this day, I have no idea who lost that tie, so we still hold on to it. We still have it. We never got rid of it, because maybe somehow one day we'll give it back to that person. But there are other ways to give back things and to help out. If you see something lost, help them. And of course, achas kama v'kama lo aleinu, we should never know from such things. I remember myself once getting very lost as a little child. Maybe it was in the shuk in Israel or the like, and my parents were terrified. But can you imagine if there's someone else, a little kid who was lost? Baruch Hashem, I found them and it all worked out. But in general, what if there is a kid who's lost? What if there's a person who's lost? You see all these people, lo aleinu, who are lost, and the FBI is looking for them, and the police are looking for them, and sometimes there's a lot of people missing. What happened with these missing people? What can we do to help? Have we ever seen this person? Especially if people are missing and you see them, please report it right away. Not only is it Jewishly the responsible thing to do, but of course legally imperative to do. You could literally save kids' lives. But even a simple concept, you see a kid running out of shul, he's alone, run after him. Don't assume someone else will. There's the bystander effect. The terrible case of Kitty Genesee, we learned in psychology, I forget what year it was, but the whole apartment building saw that she was being attacked and being literally brutally hurt, and I think brutally murdered, lo aleinu, and nobody stepped up to the plate because everybody thought someone else would do it. That's the detrimental effect of the bystander effect. You have to understand, assume no one else will act. Assume no one else will do anything. You need to be the one to act. You need to be the one to stand up. But Malcolm Sha'in Ish Hishtada Lihios Ish, Pirkei Avos teaches us one of my favorite phrases. That's how I knew I had to step up and take the idea Hashem gave me and did the audio shows, which I always repeat over and over to impress and imperative. Tell upon ourselves, we have to do what we can, we have to stand up. So if you see a kid running out of shul, run after him. Who knows if his parents are in the building? Who knows where he came from, where he's going? Make sure he's okay. Make sure he's safe. If you see a family along the way, but a kid is like way, way, way in front of them, help them out. Maybe their hands are full. You see a kid in the park alone, try to figure out what's going. Hashavas Aveda doesn't just mean literal objects, and it doesn't just mean lost souls who need cure. It could literally be a kid who might be lost, but you gotta return him. Hashav tishivem le'achicha. Bring him home, make sure everything's okay. If you see a couple who look very lost and they don't know their way around your town, help them out. A couple is lost along their way and they're looking into the community, have them for Shabbos, not talking Corona times, but in general. They're thinking about your community, but they're lost where they should live. Maybe your community is the answer. We actually did this. Our good friends were looking to the community and we had them over for Shabbos, and Baruch Hashem, they moved into the community. After that, maybe on some tiny level, we could help be the imperative impetus to get them to where they want to go. Maybe they're lost thinking where they should live. Maybe a person's lost in what he should do for a job. Loss could be so many definitions. It doesn't just mean a material is lost. It could be that their soul is lost. Their space in life is lost. So many times people, lo aleinu, especially during COVID, lose their job and they feel at a loss what to do with themselves. They feel worthless. They feel depressed. Some people even might have suicidal ideation or suicidal thoughts, or God forbid they try, because a person nowadays in secular materialistic society, a job is so intertwined with the person, which makes no sense, because a job is what you do. It's not who you are. The job is only an occupation, but it might not be your calling. It might not be your actual mission. It's wonderful when your job is your mission, but that's not always true. So if somebody loses a job, they can lose their way. They can lose their self. Very important to help them, to talk to them, to try to figure it out. Hashev tishivim, return them to themselves. Talk to them. Help them by just giving a listening ear. And empathy is a very difficult thing for many people. We have to all work on it, myself included. But Hashiv Tishivim really involves many aspects, and we want to end off with a story. Thanks for staying with us. The Jerusalem Talmud in Bava Metzia talks about the story of Alexander the Great. I always find it fascinating when non-Jewish characters are brought into the Talmud. It shows that the sages are very worldly, and they talk to those around us. Another lesson for us: we shouldn't shut ourselves off, but involve those around us. Another wonderful way to bring Kiddush Hashem: talking to everyone around us, bringing people into life, and showing them the wonderful aspects, the wonderful wisdom Judaism has to offer. And I believe Alexander the Great was very close to one of the sages. So Alexander the Great came to the king of Katsia and was shown much silver and gold. He said, "I didn't come to see your silver and gold. I came to see your laws and your customs." That shows that he knew there was wisdom and good to be learned from the Torah. That also reminds me of the Queen of Sheba, who came to King Shlomo to see the great Shlomo, his wisdom and his power. As they were sitting, two people came for litigation before the king. One of them said, "My master, the king, I purchased a ruin from my friend. I demolished it and found a hidden treasure inside it. So I said to him, 'Take your treasure.' I purchased a ruin, not a treasure." And the other one said, "Just as you fear the punishment for theft, so do I. I sold you the ruin and everything in it, from the depths of the earth to the heights of heaven." The king summoned one of them and asked him, "Do you have a son?" He said, "Yes." He then summoned the second one and said to him and asked him, "Do you have a daughter?" He said, "Yes." Said the king to them, "Let them marry each other, and the treasure shall belong to the two of them." Alexander was amazed. Sometimes you could just figure out a wonderful compromise, a wonderful solution for something that may be lost, or something that might not figure out what to do with it. So Alexander was amazed. The king said to him, "Did I not rule well?" He said, "No, you did not." He said, "If such a case came before you in your country, what would you do?" He said, "I'd cut off both their heads and send the treasure to the royal palace." Said the king of Katsia to Alexander, "Does the sun shine in your country?" Alexander said, "Yes." "And do rains fall upon you?" He said, "Yes." "Perhaps there are cattle and herds in your land?" Alexander said, "Yes." "By my life," said the king of Katsia, "it is for the sake of the cattle and the herds that the sun shines for you and the rains fall upon you." Obviously, because he didn't learn the lessons of how to really rule, how to really figure out what to do in a situation where all seems lost. Because it's not just the material that's lost. It's not just the person's soul that feels lost, and it's not even the enemy that needs you that's lost, and it's not even the child that's lost. Sometimes a situation or a setting might feel lost. We might feel that all around us the hope is lost. But when we talk about Hashev Tishivim Le'achicha, we have to return whatever is lost, whether it be the person's soul that is lost, whether it be their materials that are lost, whether it be their possessions that are lost, or whether it be their very essence and their direction in life is lost. The idea is about restoring hope and restoring what's lost, restoring what's no longer with us, what's missing. So in some person, it might be their item that's lost, and we want to give them back the hope, want to give them back the item if that's what's lost. And if a person needs kirov, their hope for a better life is lost. If someone lost their job, their hope of life at all, because they're so ingrained with their job, might be lost. Maybe the essence of the element involved in what we're talking about tonight is returning that hope. Not just returning the literal item or returning the person, but giving them also the hope. A lot of times, optimism and hope is what's really necessary to help a person. A lot of times, giving a person a positive spin is what really is lost and what really can help the person. So when we see the person who's physically lost or emotionally lost, or we see that the item is lost, whatever is lost in a person's life, we need to do our utmost to help them, to save them, and to be there for them, especially if it's someone you like a little less. Remember, don't pretend you don't see it. Don't cover your eyes and feign ignorance. Don't be the person that's lo tamal adam riacha. You don't want anyone's blood on your hands, God forbid. And don't be that person that puts the person in the situation that they shouldn't be in. Don't be a person that gives them the lifnei iver lo sitin mechshol. Don't put them in a situation that's difficult for them. Don't put them in a nisayon and an obstacle. A person will be given many nisayons in his life. You don't have to be the one to add any single one to them. Hashem knows what he's doing, but don't be the stick that hurts the other person. Make sure to be involved as much as possible to help and stand up for a person, to help and bring back the lost souls, or the lost items, or the lost possessions, or the lost way of life. In whatever way a person feels lost, in whatever way a person feels that his life is lacking, you can be the one to do Hashav Teshivim Le'achicha. You could be the one to do Hashavas Aveda. Interestingly, the word is Hashavas Aveda, returning of a lost object, but I believe, as we talk tonight a lot, it's not just about returning the object. Of course, it's about returning whatever is really gone from that person's life, whatever is really missing from that person's life. And sometimes it's just that hope that's lost that we need to return to them. So whatever we can do, it's the Hashem Tishivim Le'achicha, especially if he is lo karov elacha, especially if he is not close to you, whether it be physically, emotionally, or spiritually. In whatever way the person is missing, is lost, in whatever way they need your help, that's what the Torah asks of us. That's what Hashem wants of us, as much as we can, to go against our nature, against our traits, to go help someone who we might like even less than someone else. That's what we should stand up and do. And maybe in that way, there could be much more Avad Chinam and the building of the third Beit HaMikdash speedily in our days. This has been the Audio DT, the Audio Devar Torah with Reb T. Join us next time. And I'm your host, Reb T.